You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is To Die For. We throw this phrase around. I've actually heard, start with women, oh my gosh, these shoes are to die for. Or looking for a place to go on a trip, oh, this place is to die for. Obviously, you don't mean what you're saying, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Like, what could you say this, oh, it's to die for? A few quotes before we get into the scriptures. Groucho Marx. Does anybody still know who Groucho Marx is even? Okay, kind of. He said, I intend to live forever or die trying. Sounds like Groucho Marx. B.B. King said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die to get there. Sam Levinson said, if you die in an elevator, be sure to push the up button. I thought that was good. And John Wooden, famous coach, basketball coach, said, I'm not afraid to die. And I agree with that statement. I am not afraid to die. I'm not looking for a gruesome death. I don't want to be martyred necessarily. I don't want to be chopped into little pieces, you know, all that stuff. I don't want to go out like Braveheart. That seemed like a bad way. But in terms of dying, I don't spend any time thinking about what will happen to me. It's when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what the book says. So if you know Jesus, you don't have to worry about dying. If you don't know Jesus, then I'm glad you're listening. So go to Matthew chapter 16. Now, I've read these verses a ton of times through the years, and I'm encouraging you, don't just, oh yeah, well, I know that verse. It's not about the verses that you know, it's the verses that you know how to live out. That's the only thing that's going to change your life. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, let me make some observations about what he's saying. You say, oh, he's talking about the cross. He hasn't died on a cross yet. Okay? He mentions go to Jerusalem, suffer and die. He keeps telling this is going to happen, but he has not happened yet. So what in the world does he throw the cross in here? Everybody back then knew what a cross meant. It meant not just suffering. It didn't just mean being tortured. It meant you died. You did not survive the cross. So when he says, if you desire to come after me, anybody can come after me, then you got to start by denying yourself. The problem is there are too many things in this world that we think are to die for. And so we could not possibly give up something that we think is to die for in order to deny ourselves and follow him because it's too expensive. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so you're saying, okay, I'm going to pick up my cross. This is means I'm going to die to me, but that's how you end up following him. And if you don't do these things, verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you spend your whole life protecting your life, saving your life, doing everything you can to keep it okay, you're in control, it's evaporating on you. It's gone. You're losing it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I spend too much time with too many old men who I know one man right now, happens to be today, got on his jet, on his big Global Express, flew to south of France, getting in his big yacht, going over to Monaco for the Grand Prix. I have sat with this old man and short of hitting him over the head with a 2x4, tried to speak to him of these things, and he will not repent. He will not relent. And you say, well, what's going to happen to him? I've had the conversation with him, had him down on his knees. He actually prayed. But the sin that he started doing years ago is now doing him. See, you think, oh, I'm just doing what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm just enjoying sin. I'm just having a good time. And then your good time turns on you and says, guess what, big boy? Now I run your life. Now you don't have a choice anymore. We are smoking weed. We are drinking alcohol. We are doing coke. We are doing meth. We are going to steal. We are going to lie. We're going to do whatever we have to do to take care of me, which turns out not just to be you. It's the enemy saying, I now control your life. Now you're a prisoner of war, and you go, how do I get out of this? I only know one way out of that prison, and his name is Jesus. Okay? There's a lady here today, sitting right over here. If I had her stand up and told you her story, that she had done drugs, dealt drugs, been in prison, you'd go, there's no way. Looking at her today, you go, there is absolutely no way that she is this person today. Jesus can change your life, but he can't change it if you don't want it changed. So all of these things in this verse, you say, okay, I want to follow you, Jesus. He says, okay, number one, deny yourself. Oh, I'm out. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I have an issue with this personally. And you say, well, what happens when you have an issue? So I woke up, my wife doesn't even know this. I woke up the other morning, going to a men's thing at 6:30. I got up at 5-something, trying to be there at 6:30 at the office, went my usual route. I stopped, and I was going to use this in my explanation. I'm doing 52 and a 35, that I've been doing 52 and a 35 for a long time now. And I got pinged. He pulls me over. He says, any reason you're going fast? I said, yeah, I was slowing down to turn left. I didn't actually say that, but that's what you should say, something like that. He said, any reason you're going, I said, yes, sir, I'm a pastor. I was very nice because I had this coming. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm on my way to a men's thing. And I stopped to make coffee for my wife and I'm late. He said, wait right here. And he went and wrote me a ticket. So I thought if I said something about my wife, maybe. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with denying yourself? He's coming for you, right? You say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. He goes, no, you're not. So you either choose to deny yourself and follow me, or I'm going to get a situation where you have no option but to deny yourself and follow me. I'm going to increase the pain where you don't want to do what you want to do anymore. That's the point of discipline. A child gets out of line, you discipline the child so that when they go to do it again, they remember this is not going to be worth it because mama's got tools, right? There's going to be a consequence. So if you think there's no consequence, you just keep barreling through life. And then there's consequence, and now it's not fun anymore. A technical term I would share with you is deferred adjudication, if you're looking for a term today. Does anybody know what deferred adjudication is? All these speeders. See all these speeders right here? That's what all those people do. Okay, so you decide to deny yourself. Now what's after that? You're already suffering because you're telling yourself no. And now he says, take up your cross. You're like, God, this is an instrument of death. I'm going to totally lose me. He says, yes, but if you don't give up your life, you'll never find it. And if you hold on to it, you're going to lose it. So the sooner you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God, the sooner we get on the life that I intended. Let's go. And you go, sorry, I'm out. Now, how many years are you going to burn up before you die? And I'll go ahead and ask it now. What sin do you have in your life that you are willing to die for? Some addiction, some habit, some secret thing, and you go, you know what? I'm willing to die for this. I will not yield. This is my sin. I don't care what the Bible says, what God says. I'm going to do this. I can assure you, whatever you're holding on to is not willing to die for. It's going to be too expensive. Go to John chapter 15, verse 13. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this. So you say, oh, I'm a loving person. I have a lot of love. Okay, he says, greater love has no one than this. This is the greatest love than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, what did Jesus do? He laid down his life for his friends. I'm included in that batch, and you can be included in that. But then he turns around, and what does that also mean toward us? If you want to love the way Jesus loved, what do you have to do? You start laying down your life for your friends. I have a very, very good friend in the room today, Navy SEAL, lost some friends, handed me a book one day about some SEALs getting shot out at just a nightmare story. And I took that book, sat in the woods on a family weekend and wept, cried through the whole book because I knew it just wasn't stories about SEALs dying. I knew it was a story about my friends dying. And for what? For us. Now, dying for your country won't get you into heaven, but it sure does explain being willing to give your life for something else. And I don't think you ever truly live until you figure out what it is you'd be willing to die for. You say, well, I'm just living. For what? We have a reason to die. Jesus gave us a reason to die, which gives you a reason to live. And if you have a reason to live, then you have a reason to die. If you have a reason to die, now you have a reason to live. Figure out what that is. Or you are just existing. You are spinning your wheels. You say, well, I'm a nice person. I'm generous. Would you die for all of that? Do you have friends that you would lay down your life for? Now, what if he doesn't want me to die for him? What if he just wants me to live for him? But what if living for him means dying to my sin? So Jesus is not interested. You say, well, I'm willing to die for my sin. He's interested in you dying to your sin because he died for your sin so you wouldn't have to live in your sin and die in your sin. And it's hard to explain this to people who are young, all full of vinegar and whatever else going on, man. You know, they're like, man, I'm going to do what I want to do. You got about that long down here and you are gone. And you think, oh, I'm going to conquer the world. Oh, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to be somebody. And you've heard me share this before. People say, oh, you're just trying to be somebody. I already am somebody. You're going to make me, what are you going to give me some title, some office, some business card? I am a servant of the Most High God. That's who I am. And on top of that, I am his son. I am his child. You can't get any bigger and better than that. Short of being God himself, it doesn't get any better than that. I got picked. I got chosen. I got adopted into his family. He picked me. I picked him back. So you're either representing you or you're representing him. Who you representing? You say, well, nobody's going to know who I am. Even if you've become somebody, nobody's going to know who you are either. I've already asked a person in this room today, a young man, have you ever heard of Kurt Cobain? He said, no. Well, Kurt Cobain, he's famous. He died at 27, whatever it was, that whole club. All the famous people are dead but Jesus. You better get on his team. Because if you don't have him not just with you but in you, you are not going to make it to the right side of the other side. It is not going to happen. You say, well, I don't believe that. You will. It'd just be too late. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go down to verse 32. This whole chapter is mostly about being raised from the dead, talking about the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 32. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? If there's no being raised from the dead, then what should you do? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, what is most of the world doing with no faith? They eat, they drink, they're like, tomorrow we die. That's all there is to it. The problem is, that's not all there is to it. The enemy wants you to think that's all there is to it. I sat at lunch of the day with a tremendous young guy who's about to become the chaplain for the New York Rangers, and just hearing him talk about Jesus. And I said, well, what is it with hockey players? Like, what do you think the core thing is? He said, man, it's for a lot of them, it's just all about how many women you can get. Not all hockey players. But that could be any sport. That could be anybody. You don't have to be an athlete. Now think about this. For men. So that's your plan. Yeah, that's my plan. So you're just going to try to sleep with as many people, you know, as you can talk into it, or that they're disoriented, or you get them drunk, or put something in their drink, they get roofied, whatever it is. That's your plan. Oh, I'm sleeping. I got all these women. You got all these women, then you got no woman. And now you're alone. Now you're unhappy. But you won. No, you didn't. There's always somebody slept with more. And that's your life? You're going to give your life to that? And then at the end of that run, you say, well, I need to get married and have kids. So you find you some girl who's crazy enough to marry such a person. Now, I'm not saying if you find Jesus, that couldn't change. But then you sit down with her and say, look, I got to be honest with you. I've slept with so many women, but I want you to marry me and I'll be faithful to you. Trust me. Look, just run an evaluation on your systems. Okay, so I got one life. I'm not going to come back as a duck, probably. This is it. You know, I saw one guy said he's going to come back as a waterfall. I'm like, dude, what does that even mean? What, are they going to circulate you or something? Like, you're gone. Once the water done fell, you're gone. So I'm going to, it's the most women I can sleep with. That's it. Or I'm gonna buy stuff. I'm gonna make money and buy stuff. Okay, there we go. Look at all my stuff. Okay, and well, I got a lot of stuff. Okay, I get it. Okay, and are you willing to die for all your stuff? Or I'm going to have this position, I'm going to do more deals, you know, whatever you've come up with. If it's not what Jesus has come up with, you are so, it's not going to work. It's empty, it's vanity, it's poof, gone. If it doesn't survive death, it won't last. If you're not shipping your life to the other side, there's not going to be anything when you get there. Now, you may be a Christian, don't just wait to die for him, live for him. I had a guy, I've been talking really recently, and I asked him how he's doing. He's probably 30-something. And he said, no, I'm trying to retire early. And I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do? I'm going to play golf. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? You're going to wake up every day and play golf for the rest of your life? The book says make disciples. How does that fit together? Whose life are you changing playing golf every day? I don't have anything to do. You apparently don't have anything to do now then. And by the way, I can't find any retirement verses in the scripture, especially when it comes to living a godly life and making disciples. Go out obeying, but it's got to start somewhere. Galatians 2:20. A lot of people know this one by heart. They just won't live it. Paul, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is he saying? I died when Jesus died. Well, what does that mean? You're in Christ. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. So don't go back to that old life. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, I know I use these crazy oversimplification examples, but just go with me. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm around a lot of people who smoke weed, and I don't know what's going on in the world, but it seems like everybody's smoking weed. So whatever you're going to do, you got a stash, you're struggling, you go light you up one, and, you know, just ask a simple question. Because you got Jesus, if you're a Christian, you got Jesus living in your body. Just, hey, Jesus, you want to drag? You want to hit? You want some of this? Is this what you want me doing right now? What do you think he's going to say? If it's for medicinal reasons, how often do you hear that? So whatever you're self-medicating with, just stop before you jump in and say, hey, Jesus, is this what you want me doing today? Well, no, I had in mind that whole thing about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following me. This will not fit in with that plan. So the answer is no. Oh, man, I'll see you tomorrow then. I'll see you tomorrow because I'm going to do what I want to do today. And then the next day and the next day and the next day. And then you wake up and you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And you go, wow, what happened to my life? I don't know. What happened to your life? You just told him no every day and strung it all together till there's nothing left. How about one day, one time you ask him and when he says, no, this is not what I want. You go, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And take a turn. And repent. All that means is I change my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do this. How many of you got to a point in your life and you were not willing to die for your sin and you understood what I just described? And I'm not saying you've lived perfectly since then, but you basically had an understanding of changing your mind, repenting, and you did, and it made all the difference. Raise your hand. Okay, look around the room. It's not that these people weren't thieves. They're just not thieves anymore. It's not that they didn't smoke meth. They don't smoke meth anymore. Okay? We're not claiming it's a bunch. It's not that they didn't chase women. They're not chasing women anymore. They're chasing Jesus now. Philippians chapter 3. Same guy, Paul, writing to another church. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So there were things that he thought, well, this is good for me. I'm not going to deny myself. I like this stuff. And he's saying, but all that stuff that was gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, like taking out the trash. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So it's not just knowing him in the power of his resurrection. It's the fellowship of his suffering. And where does that lead you? Conform to his death. It means I lose me completely so that I can let him live in me completely. I have at least two people in my life that I know for a fact who have wives who are in terrible situations, and both of them have money. And they both, I promise you straight up today, would give every dime that they have, every possession, every home, every asset, everything for their wives to be whole. Are you willing to give everything for your life to be whole? You say, but I'll have nothing. No, that's when you'll have everything. When you give up everything, that's when you get everything, because Jesus is everything. And he guarantees food. He guarantees shelter. You say, but what about all this other stuff? I don't know. Is it worth trading in on him? It's not. It won't be. Last one, Revelation chapter 6. And go down to verse 9. And without getting into all this and explaining it, a bunch of seals are broken and things start to be opened up. And in verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar in heaven, it's describing, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These people are there for no other reason but that they have died for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They would not back down. And that's what landed them there. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants, now look at this, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. It ain't going to happen until everybody who's supposed to die is dead. People are going to die for the cause of Christ. And every day, hundreds of people around the world die for no other reason. Missionaries, you don't have to be a missionary. Local people convert to Christianity. They say, if you don't renounce Jesus, we're going to set you on fire alive. We're going to kill your family. They threaten them with everything. They won't back down. They die. And that's where they are. You say, well, I don't want that. Why don't you just start with denying yourself and let's see where it goes. Take a first step. And that goes back to asking Jesus questions. Now you say, well, what about you, Richard? What are you going to do? So here's my dilemma. I get in my car, and the question I have to ask is, hey, Jesus, you feel like going fast today? You feel like breaking the speed limit? You feel like being a person not under authority?
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, the amazing thing for me about all this is it turns out, from Jesus' perspective, I was to die for. Before I was ever born, before the universe was created, before the foundation of the world, he saw little old me that I would be born and I would need to be born again. And he said, he's to die for. I'm going to go in there to save him. And you may not know that yet. You may not realize that from Jesus' perspective, you also are to die for. And that's why he did it. You say, but I don't even believe in him. That's not his problem. That's your problem. He has laid his life down for you, suffered and died, shed his blood on a cross to pay for your sin, was buried and raised from the dead to make eternal life, abundant life possible. And now you've got a decision to make. is he to die for? Are you willing to lay your life down, exchange your life for his, and live the way he intended, and die the way he intended with him?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.